I was in the process of publishing a novel, which was something I'd always looked forward to doing, and I noticed as things went forward that I really didn't care very much about publishing it, and I didn't care what kind of reviews it got, and that none of what was happening was giving me pleasure. In fact, all it was giving me was a kind of mild underlying anxiety. And then as time went on, I began to feel more and more the effortfulness of everything. It began to seem effortful getting out of a chair and walking across the room to get a glass of water. And I just had this null, blank, kind of tired feeling all the time. And I found myself beginning to do less and less. I stopped leaving the house at all if I could avoid it. I would kind of sit and stare at things for an hour at a time and not really do much. My level of functioning was really going steadily downward. It wasn't just that I didn't want to do things, it was that the prospect of doing things was painful to me, and I felt overwhelmed by everything. I would think, I haven't eaten anything in a day, but the idea of having to get up and get food out and cook it and put it on a plate and cut it up and chew it and swallow it all began to seem just totally overwhelming, and I found myself really doing nothing but sitting still and staring off into the distance.
We all feel down from time to time, but what happens when these feelings don't subside after a few days? As human beings, we experience an array of emotions, but is there something wrong when these emotions affect our lives and we have difficulty remembering what it feels like to experience happiness? We've just heard a testimony from Mr. Andrew Solomon, author of the Pulitzer Prize-nominated book, The Noonday Demon, An Atlas of Depression. In this book, Mr. Solomon shares his personal struggle with depression, as well as the experience of others who have been affected by this illness. This book has won him 14 national awards, including the 2001 National Book Award. Joining us to talk more on the subject of depression is Dr. Kelly Sokrowitz. Dr. Sokrowitz is a licensed psychologist and assistant professor of clinical psychology at Texas Tech University. Her current research focuses on interpersonal correlates of depression and suicide in later life. Dr. Sokrowitz, we've just heard Mr. Solomon share his first recollections of depression. What are the specific symptoms of depression?
Most people think about depressed mood, and by that I mean people feeling sad or down, empty, or noticing themselves being tearful a lot of the time, as well as things like feeling fatigue or not having very much energy, feeling sluggish or really slowed down, like they're moving more slowly than usual, and then things like sleeping all the time. Then there's other symptoms of depression that people think about less frequently. So one of those is not feeling interested in things or enjoying things that someone used to enjoy. People often feel worthless or guilty, even when there's really nothing going on in their life to indicate that they should be feeling bad about anything. Another difficulty that we often see people experiencing is with regard to concentration or being able to keep their mind on things, or having difficulty making decisions in a way that's not usual for them. Sometimes people will notice weight loss, other times weight gain, and the same is true of appetite. We'll also sometimes see people not being able to sleep. Sometimes people will feel really slowed down, but then other times we see people feeling really agitated and like they have a very difficult time calming themselves down.
And then the acute anxiety set in. I felt completely terrified all the time. I felt as though there was something that I was deathly afraid of, but I didn't know what it was. I felt like I was going to explode from this intense anxiety. I couldn't get from one minute to the next minute. I wanted to die because I wanted it to stop.
Certainly, if you notice thinking about death or suicide, that's really important.
And finally, one day I woke up, and I thought maybe I'd had a stroke because I couldn't get out of bed. And I lay there completely terrified and completely paralyzed. And I kept thinking, something is really wrong with me. And I looked over at the phone by the side of the bed, and I thought I should reach out for that phone and pick it up and call someone for help. But I couldn't do it, and I lay there completely motionless for something like 6 hours until finally the phone rang. And it was someone to whom I said, I'm not doing very well, and I need you to come down and help me.
Mr. Solomon came to the recognition that he needed to seek professional help, but I've read that most people with depression never seek help, even though the majority will respond to treatment. So Dr. Sokrowitz, when should a person consider treatment, and what are the typical treatment options?
anytime you notice the symptoms of depression, it's certainly a time to consider whether or not you might need to be getting some help for that. There's a lot of different people that can help with depression, ranging from social workers and nurses to psychologists and psychiatrists. The typical treatment options that we think about are psychotherapy, where we're usually looking at helping you to change some of the thoughts and different behaviors that are happening with you that are problematic. Intentionally trying to increase the number of activities that you're engaging in. If you've been withdrawn from some of your relationships, try and get back involved in your relationships, as well as medication options.
I came out of that initial depressive episode. I stopped taking medication. I had a second depressive episode. I went back on medication. I went off it again. I had a third depressive episode. Like everyone else, I didn't really want to admit that I would need to be permanently on medication as I now am. It took me a long time to get to admitting that. And I meet people who sort of say, well, you know, I just felt like what I really wanted was to defeat this by myself, and I decided I wasn't going to take medication. And what I say to those people is, this is crazy. You wouldn't say if you were a diabetic that you wanted to triumph over your illness without medication. And you say that your concern is that we don't really know what these medications do to your brain on the long term. And it's true that we have limited evidence because some of the medications are of recent manufacture. But what we do know is what repeated depressive episodes do to your brain in the long term. They cause lesioning in the hippocampus. They cause loss of mental functioning. They also devour chunks of your life so that if you keep cycling through depression, you have years and years and years of your life that are lost. It's important to have someone who's a professional who's kind of keeping an eye on you and who can say, you know, you don't seem that well, you seemed better last week, or do you feel like you're really slipping, and to have someone in place for when you do slip, because even with effective medication, you're likely to need psychotherapeutic help.
What can people do when they notice themselves slipping into depression?
Try to do things intentionally that will make them feel happier or that increase their engagement in activities rather than moving in the direction of the depression and withdrawing from things. Would often encourage them to let their therapist know about that if they see a therapist, because it might indicate a need for a modification in the plan for their treatment. Or if they've previously taken medication and they're not taking it anymore, it might indicate a need to resume taking a medication or to increase the dose of a medication that they're already taking.
I think it's important for people to know that while there's still a lot of stigma associated with treatment, that treatment can also be transformative and redemptive. I think it's important for people to know that the earlier you start treating a depression, the easier it is to turn it around, and that saying, well, I'm going to see if I can get through this on my own and waiting until it escalates, which is what I did, is really a very foolish, bad way to handle it. And the last thing I think is just to say that while love doesn't cure depression, it's very helpful. And I would say to people who have depression, try to mobilize whatever support you have. And I would say to people who have family members or people they love or care about who have depression, that even if the depressed person is in such a bad state that he can't interact very much, never let the person feel abandoned.
Remember, depression is a common but serious mental illness that often requires treatment. Not only does depression affect you, but can affect your family, friends, and various aspects of your life. Recognize that depression is a treatable illness, and don't be afraid to seek help. Special thanks to Mr. Solomon and Dr. Zakrowitz. To learn more about the Texas Tech Psychology Podcast, please visit www.psychology.ttu.edu. This podcast was produced by Dr. Frank Durso, edited by Kristen Goodhart and Liz Schmidlin, and relayed by me, RB Watts. Stay healthy and active, and have a great day.